supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. So, when our intern, Leia Kaufman, brought up the topic of ghosting and its effects on relationships, those of us in Voices over the age of... We had no idea what ghosting was. Well, we're glad she did bring it to our attention, because for all that social media can do to keep us connected, think Skyping with your grandchildren, which is what I did last night, reuniting with long-lost friends, there's a downside. And the downside is it can keep us from communicating our feelings and creating closure.
There's not much other way to communicate now. It's got Facebook or any other type of communication. And it just makes it a little easier to kind of like, I'm here, but not really here, and act like you still want to be involved, but really kind of disappear.
Indeed, disappear. Joining me here in the studio is Christine Seitz from the Council on Relationships, and she's been studying human sexuality, technology, and relationships. Well, Christine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Dan.
All right, so you got... young woman sitting across from me, and sitting across from you is neither young nor woman. Please help us understand what's going on here. What is this phenomenon labeled ghosting?
Well, ghosting isn't a new phenomenon. The word might be new, but it's been happening for ages.
How so?
I mean, if we think about losing touch with a friend, thinking about sending a letter and never having it gotten received, wondering what happened to that person, thinking about pen pals we had when we were kids, thinking about relationships we've had that just kind of fizzled away. Sometimes they just fizzles. The difference is...
Yeah, I'm going to hear. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, ghosting in terms of definition is kind of the ending of a relationship by severing all forms of communication and ignoring any types of communication when someone reaches out, too. And so the difference now is that we have all of these ways to connect with people, whether it's our tablets, our smartphones, email apps, social media, all of these things. When someone breaks up with someone or ends a friendship, it's kind of a... two cuts in a way. It's the end of the relationship that needs to be mourned, but then it's also ending all of these other kind of reopening the wounds of disconnecting on Facebook, on Instagram, on all of these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So they become invisible, and I would imagine you feel almost
right. Invisible.
I want to give out the number. Talking with Leia Kaufman from the Council for Relationships. I apologize, Christine Seitz. I told you I mess up. our number is 888-477-9499. Again, that's 888-477-9499. So I can understand this a little bit better if it's just social media, like Facebook friends. But this is different. I mean, I wonder if social media has changed the nature of intimate relationships, what it means to be intimate.
I think it has in a lot of degrees. I think it can be used, and social media in general has opened up a lot of avenues to create community and to bring people together that might not have been. And it can absolutely be used in ways to enhance relationships. But oftentimes, if it's just done solely through social media or texting and not the face-to-face kind of conversation, there is a there is a difference. There is a distinct difference, usually.
I wonder why someone would want to end a relationship that way. And why would someone just want to walk away? And when I guess there's a difference between just going out on a couple of dates or you know, going out on a half a dozen dates and sleeping with your partner.
Right. I think there could be several reasons. It could be unintentional in terms of just losing track of time, getting busy with life and not having that connection. It could also be true avoidance of not knowing what to say, you know, being physically intimate with someone is one thing, and then being truly heard and truly known by someone is a different type of intimacy that oftentimes can be harder to do. And so if you're not comfortable in expressing, you know, sometimes I think I wonder why can't someone just say, I'm not interested, or this isn't working for me, or I need this instead of that.
Oh, wait a minute. You're the expert. I'm the guy that asks the questions. So I'm going to ask you, so why can't someone simply say, I'm not comfortable? What stops them?
It could be the ease of just the ease of the avoidance of not wanting to deal with it.
So I wonder what impact it has first on someone on the receiving end. You know, so a buddy of mine ghosted me, and all of a sudden, you know, why aren't we communicating? And, you know, he just kept saying, I'm busy. Now, this was not my best friend in the world. He was just a close friend. We hadn't even been close for that long. And, boy, it felt like a seed in my tooth.
But it's a hurt, and it's a loss, for sure.
And it's a lot of things. It's a hurt. It's a loss. It's confusion. It's anger. It's you know, the stories we tell ourselves.
I was just going to say that. You know, reenacting things that have happened in the past,
exactly.
Or patterns.
Yeah, what have I done? And then I get stories about something I did, and then I'm mad at him, and then, you know, it sticks with you.
It does.
So what can help me? Cure me here. Come on, you're the therapist.
I don't have the answers. I'm trying to figure out the answers myself, right?
Well, I know one of the answers is three words. Well, four. It's not about you.
Right.
If someone ghosts you, it's not about you.
Right.
It's always about them, their anxiety, conflict, avoidance, shame, whatever the issues are.
Right.
So, all right, but an average person is going to carry that like a seed in your tooth.
Yes, absolutely.
What's the impact on one who ghosts? You think there's none?
I think that's a good question. I think,
yeah.
I mean, I think there is an impact, because if there is an avoidance there, whatever that trigger, that issue is for them, that eventually that will build up and come to some type of head. That needs to be addressed, or not addressed, and further buried.
Yeah, exactly, buried. I can see someone doing it as a result of anxiety, or shame, or insecurity. But that stuff doesn't go away; it stays with you. You carry it.
It does
inside. So both parties are suffering. I read a Vanity Fair article on Tindering. It's an app in which one selects an individual.
Yes.
Based on their attractiveness and just a very brief introduction.
Or none at all.
So here's my question about that. What the hell is that all about? What? Help me.
So, I mean, Tinder as an app gets a lot of press because it's so simple. And it does actually mimic how people relate in real life to some degree, in the sense of if you see someone you're attracted to, you might try to dig a little deeper and make a connection and try to communicate with them. And that's what this is. It's the swiping left and right. Left is not interested, right is interested. And if two people swipe right together, then it allows them to chat with one another.
So there can be depth here with Kindering. Kindering.
I think Tinder is what you make of it. Sometimes it gets the reputation as just a hookup app, in terms of just two people or multiple people wanting to get together for physical intimacy. But it really can be what you make of it. There was a woman, I think, in Boston during the snowstorms that used it to try to get her car shoveled out several times.
Tell me, how's that work?
So in her profile, in her bio, she said, I am just looking for help shoveling out my car. And people reached out to her. It was successful, I think, the first time, and she tried it a few times. It was very snowy, obviously, this past winter in Boston. But the idea of she put out what she wanted. And
they're reading it at that moment.
Mm-hmm. And some people replied. And some people replied, you know, that they want to hook up, that they want a relationship, that they want other things. And they thought the shoveling out the car was maybe a reference for something else. I don't know what. But it can be what you make of it.
Like all social media.
Exactly.
We did a show on the internet, social media, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I remember is the guest said, look, this stuff is a tool.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
So it depends on how you use it. I mean, it's like a hammer. Hammer can build a house or it can kill somebody.
Right.
You know, it's just a tool.
Right.
Just a tool. Let's go to the phones. We've got Karen on the line. Hey, Karen.
Hey, Doc. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Good. Oh, well, I just wanted to run my little story by you. I have a good friend. I've ghosted her, essentially. She's a wonderful person, but we kind of bonded over our issues. That's to say, you know, we both had some drinking issues and that sort of thing, and I've been trying to leave all that behind me, and it's been difficult for me to be able to say to her, you know, guess what, I just can't talk to you, you know, at 10 o'clock at night when you've been drinking. It's just simply not something that is healthy for me. But this is a person who has been there through some very difficult times for me, and I feel guilty. You know, I feel like she's been a great friend, and I feel like I'm abandoning her, and I don't want to do that, but I'm just not sure how to go about, you know, explaining to her where I'm coming from.
Oh, boy. What you're talking about here, Karen, mm-hmm. My hunch is Christine would agree, is just the opposite of ghosting. You know, here's mm-hmm. a person wanting to use language that won't hurt someone else. You know, I'm going to, after, you know, later in the show, you know, I want to talk about ghosting and empathy. You know, there's almost mm-hmm. a lack of empathy. Mm-hmm. And you're doing the opposite. I'll tell you.
Because I love her.
All right. What would happen if she heard what you said just now?
Well, I've tried to approach it, but she is a person who has just always said, I mean, she's a smart girl, you know, but she's just always said, do not ever bring up, you know, my drinking. I mean, and everyone, you know, she's that way with everyone. It's not just me, but she simply refuses to address the issue, and that's fine. You know, if that's her choice, that's not a great choice, but I mean, from my perspective, this is difficult to... I can't deal with her, you know, right at this point in my life.
So
and
what
as much as I love
what,
her.
What happens if you tell her what you just told us, that I love you, you're a great person, I'm deeply grateful for everything you've done for me. I will respect your wish not to talk about drinking, but when you are drinking, I can't talk to you. It's too upsetting to me, and I feel at risk. Done.
You're right. I mean, that is exactly the approach I need to take, but I just know, you know, where it's going to end up with her. So essentially, I'm in avoidance. You know, I simply choose not to call her, and I know that that's hurtful for her, and I don't want to hurt her, you know, because she's a really, really good girl.
Karen, it's hurtful to you. It's hurtful to both of you, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't control what she says or thinks in response. The only thing you can control is your own integrity here. And speak your truth and trust the consequences.
Yep.
Okay.
I hear you.
Yes.
Thank you for your vote of confidence.
Karen, I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
I wish you the best, too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Christine, would you agree? Was it the opposite of ghosting, what we heard from Karen?
So there was the definite need and want for connection. But what I didn't ask, and I maybe should have, was how long has it been? Has time gone by? Just because you've ghosted someone doesn't mean that you can't reinitiate contact. But there might have been ghosting that did occur, and she's thinking about it.
So to the extent that this is ghosting, it's about fear.
Absolutely.
Is what we heard. Fear of hurting someone. And fear of speaking your truth to someone.
And telling your story,
who
yes.
may or may not hurt you
right.
as a result. Yeah, it takes courage to be honest, like
right.
that, to be open
right.
and honest. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Joseph on the line. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Well, I was actually sitting outside the post office when your show came in, filling out an anniversary card, actually two of them, for a friend of mine. And listening to your show, I'm like, yeah, I'm not sending out the card. That friendship is now, it's time to let that friendship go.
All right, so you got to say more. Tell us about that friendship.
That's one friend I've known since, 20, 30 years? Yes, 30 years now I've known him, and we have been living in different states for the last maybe decade or so. And, you know, it's just the typical perfunctory, you know, hey, happy birthday, hey, happy anniversary. But we're not really talking, not sitting down.
Like you used to. Yes?
Yeah, so the thing is, yeah, what is this now?
Right.
I don't think I'm letting go of a friendship right now. I'm just letting go of a memory of the friendship.
Okay. Before you do anything, don't tear that card up yet.
No,
let's hear.
Please don't.
Let's hear from Christine.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what it's like for you to get a card from someone, maybe that you haven't heard from in a long time.
Yeah, they're always a pleasant surprise.
Right. So we're not asking people to end relationships that they don't have. Relationships come and go, and they have different strengths to them, and they have different what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, I'm blanking.
They go through phases, but
sure.
I got to ask you, Joseph, the question. A very simple question. What do you want
right.
in your relationship with your friend? What do you want?
I feel that
We're breaking up.
No, I know that the intimacy that we've had is no longer there.
All right. Let me Joe, we don't, or Joseph, we don't have a good connection. So I'm going to ask you to hang up, and I think there's enough. I've got some thoughts I'd like to share with you. Maybe you can hear them on the radio.
Thank you.
All right. So listen up, Joseph. So what I'm hearing in your voice is a sadness, a longing, even an anger that you don't have what you once had. There might be a quality of grief in there. But what I'm also hearing is you really care about this guy, this relationship. I mean, I don't know you well. We haven't talked very long, but so I don't know if I can use the L word. But, man, you know, when I talk like that, that means I love this person. So, you know, my advice, if you want it, send a card, but say much more. Tell him what you want. I miss you. I miss our long conversations. Is it possible to have it again? You know, we've been talking about social media. You know, if that state that he's living in is far away, I mean, Skype with this guy. You know, or figure out a way you can go for a weekend together, go somewhere, something. But don't walk away. Don't walk away from a relationship that's valuable. If the feedback you get is, no, I don't want that close relationship, okay, so be it. Then you have to mourn in your own way. Then you have to say goodbye. But, man, not yet. Relationships are too important. They're too precious, and they are critical for our happiness, for our welfare, and for our well-being.
Our growth.
Yeah. So that's my 2 cents or my mini sermon or whatever you want. But I do wish you the best, and mail that card. Listen, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk more and take more callers. We're going to hear from more cuts from people. Leah Kaufman, our intern. We're talking about ghosting today, cutting off relationships, mostly via social media, but how it's always been just disappearing, and its impact on both sides of the coin. We're talking with Christine Seitz. She's with the Council for Relationships. And later on, we're going to be talking in our third segment by psychotherapist and relationship counselor Lisa Breitman. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb, and our number here is 888-477-9499. Give us a call if you've been ghosted or if you have ghosted others, and many, many people say they've done both. So again, 888-477-9499. You're listening to Voices in the Family right here on WHYY-FM.
Caring Friends Home Care, a subsidiary of Friends Life Care Partners, supports WHYY. A nonprofit Quaker-based organization, Caring Friends Home Care provides in-home care services, including home care aides, meal preparation, dressing, hygiene, light housekeeping, and more. With hourly and live-in care, clients receive services while remaining in their own homes. Clients living in long-term care communities can receive additional support. Details at caringfriendshomecare.org.
Karen Treatment Center supports WHYY. Is someone you care about struggling, losing interest in activities they loved? Changes like these can be a sign of drug and alcohol abuse. As a behavioral health care and addiction treatment center, Karen helps families understand when professional help is warranted, offering therapies that restore wellness in body, mind, and spirit. A confidential assessment is available at 855-894-4325 or at karen.org. That's CARON.org.
We are back on Voices in the Family. We're talking about ghosting, cutting off relationships, just cutting them off via social media primarily, but in all ways. Let's listen to two cuts that our intern, Leah Kaufman, got from two young people Let's hear.
Obviously, the person doesn't care that much about you if that's what they're doing, or they just shouldn't be in your life.
I mean, it happens a lot that you're just talking to someone for a while over text message usually, and then all of a sudden they just cut off communication. Sometimes it's like a slowdown, but even that's very rapid, and they just disappear.
So that was Michelle, age 23, and Lena, age 21. So when you look at this, it looks almost like immaturity, almost like early adolescence. So what's it about? Is it true? Could you label it immature? Are we not developing? Are brains not developing as they were a couple generations ago?
It could be, sure. I think, you know, talking back before about being afraid to stutter, being afraid to be who we are, and having people see who the real us is, can be frightening. And so the avoidance is the solution. But so, you know, saying how we feel, saying what our needs and our wants are, that can absolutely be uncomfortable or awkward. But I think in that awkwardness is where growth usually occurs.
Sure.
And so the avoidance of that is going to be a constant stunt to that growth in many ways. And if people are relying solely on social media or solely on texting to communicate with people, they are missing the real nuances of folks.
You know, I've got to tell you, Christine, we're preparing a show and doing research on the show we're doing on about college kids and what's going on college campuses. And there was an article in Atlantic Magazine about how kids are so sensitive that there's language we can't use. We can't use the word rape and because it might offend somebody on college campus. And there's even a warning before they read The Great Gatsby. So there are, they experience themselves as very fragile. They've got a history of being overprotected. Mm-hmm. And the social interaction thing is just not fully developed. Mm. So I just wonder if part of it is just having been overprotected all these years.
That could definitely be part of it.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Samantha on the line. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Dr. Dan. I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan of your show, so thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
I just had a comment. I really appreciate this topic of ghosting. 10 years ago, I had a friend who had for actually 25 years, using the term ghost me, just totally disappeared. I tried writing, calling, trying to track her down. I thought something had happened to her, you know, physically or just some kind of concern. And it was really, she just disappeared. She was doing fine. She didn't want the relationship anymore. And honestly, it's been 10 years, and I'm still left with that sense of shame, like, oh my goodness, what did I do? You know?
Well,
I don't know. I appreciated your comment about the whether this is something to do with the brain, because I don't understand, you know? You're just left with that question of why.
The human brain is hardwired to make meaning. And if we need to make meaning out of what happened. So it's a story I told with my friend.
Right.
We tell ourselves story. You know, we did something wrong. There's something wrong with them. I hate them. I hate me. You know, it's not good. None of these stories are good. But they all take you away from the real emotion you feel, whether it's hurt, anger, shame. That's the only truth you know, is that in the wake of your friend's behavior, this is what you feel. And don't jump to assumptions about why your friend did this, because you don't know and you never will know. But it's right. Like we talked about, you know, about 10, 15 minutes ago on this show. Remember the phrase, it's not about you.
Right.
We know this, something was going on with your friend, that she couldn't be open and honest with you for whatever reason. We have no idea, but she wasn't able to. It's not about you. And the question is, I pose for you, and I'm not looking for an answer, is when is it time? When is it time to say goodbye?
Right.
So that's a question you have to decide. I'm sorry that this happened to you. I'm sorry that it happened.
I appreciate that.
I'm sorry it happened to me. I'm sorry it happened to so many people out there. And we all have to remember, it's not about me. And at best, you can feel compassion for the other person, but don't push yourself if you don't feel it. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, Samantha, take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm telling you, Christine, we do carry these hurts for so long.
For a really long time.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then it can reenact into our future stories, too.
How so? What do you mean?
So just holding on to that hurt and not just realizing what happened in that story, we tell ourselves is that it's something wrong with us, and then that affects our relationship with other people. Hmm. It adds on to our own potential insecurities.
Anxiety about, you know, what have I done?
Right.
Oof. That's not pretty. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. We've got John on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was listening into your story and just kind of going through some hard times right now, getting out of like a pretty long-term relationship. And I don't know if the term ghosting is technically, you know, applicable, but just having like diminished communications with somebody, like you don't receive, you know, a response from somebody for like 3-4 days. And then, you know, just going back and forth over a prolonged period and things just getting drawn out is pretty tough. It's kind of a similar feeling, I would think. But just kind of wondering if there is any sort of like techniques or, you know, ways that you can kind of think about, like if you have unresolved issues with somebody on trying to like reach out to them in the best way possible.
Yeah. How many times have you tried to reach out to them?
Not as many as, you know, you might think in some situations like this. I think I've been pretty quiet. I mean, in general, I'm a pretty independent person. So I think it's more maybe like twice over the course of a week, we exchange messages, that kind of a thing. And every time I end up saying something on social, like on a text message, it just doesn't feel right. Or not really big on using the phone either, which is probably part of the problem.
I'm sorry, you're not big on what?
Using the phone or talking to one another.
Oh.
You'd be a phone. Yeah. We're big texters and, you know, we get together and talk face to face.
Damn, John, you seem to be doing pretty well with me.
Actually, I might sound okay, but yeah.
Well, it's not completely a joke. You know, here we are on the phone. It's just you and me, nobody else listening. I hope I just lied. Anyway, you know, we're on the phone and you're expressing yourself quite well. You know, your confusion, your hurt, you're expressing yourself very well. And I wonder if you could simply say that to this person who you were in a relationship with for this long. I'm confused, I'm hurt. Here's what I would like, you know? I'd like to understand what's happening or how we can say goodbye or how we can say hello to each other again.
You can't get what you don't ask for either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does come down to the whether or not, you know, you can work things out. And that question tends to be something that sometimes people tend to ghost on, because if you can't answer that and you don't have an answer to it, then, what do you tell somebody? That to me is like probably one of the biggest reasons, I would think.
Yeah, that's not a great opening question. The opening question is, do you want to? What do you want? That's a harder question, and that's the only question, John. Until that question's answered, you don't know where to go. Once you answer that question for yourself, then you'll know where to go. But I'm telling you, John, please be as open and forthcoming with that person you're talking about as you have been on the phone with me.
Yeah, I really, really hope she says she does. But we'll see.
I hope so, too. Please.
It's also, the personality is also kind of really of the person. Some people are a lot more introspective and independent and don't really want to go through the motions, I guess.
Listen, and we're going to have to go in just a second. Brené Brown talks in her book, Daring Greatly, about the definition of the word courage. And C-U-R, cur, means heart. Courage is having the courage to speak from your heart, to say what your heart wants to say. That's an act of courage. And I ask you, or I invite you, to do what's courageous. And if we all did that, we wouldn't be having a show on ghosting. Have courage. And I do wish you luck. John, thanks for the phone call. Well, we do have to take a short break. We're talking about ghosting. We're talking basically about cutting off relationships. I'm speaking with Christine Seitz of the Council for Relationships. When we get back, we're going to be joined by a psychotherapist and relationship counselor in New York, Lisa Breitman. Our phone number is 888-477-9499. Well, I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family right here on WHYY-FM.
I'm Dr. Maynard Herlin from the Wistar Institute, a proud supporter of WHYY. Our Melanoma Research Center brings together scientists with diverse skills and knowledge to develop new treatments for this deadliest of all skin cancers. In the last 4 years, 6 new treatment strategies have helped revolutionize outcome for patients. We are committed to finding the cure. Learn more at wistar.org. My name is Maynard, and I'm Wistar Science.
Devereaux, backed by more than 100 years of service to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and half a century of working directly with children and adults with autism, now provides autism diagnoses for children. Devereaux offers timely appointments in as little as 4 weeks and uses the ADOS-2, the latest of autism assessments. For more information or to request an appointment, devereaux.org. Devereaux is proud to support WHYY.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb. Ghosting is what we're talking about today, cutting off relationships. Now we're joined by psychotherapist and relationship counselor Lisa Breitman. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you for having me today.
Well, I want to treat all of us to a clip from the PBS Genealogy Roadshow, and it really illustrates that ghosting really did predate social media. Let's listen.
Charlie disappeared from the records, as you know and we know, till one record actually did show up. And I got to tell you, this record is not from July 18th, 1929.
Okay.
It was actually from nearly 60 years later.
Wow.
This is an obituary for a Charlie Flynn in Fredonia, Kentucky. Now, this man has the same birth date, the same siblings as your Charlie, the same World War I record as Charlie. And it also mentions that he married a woman named Magdalene, which we find from other records to be the case.
Wow.
This obituary we believe to be your great-grandfather, Charlie Flynn. It's unbelievable.
Is that blown away?
So, like I said, it's been going on for years. So that, Lisa, is ghosting at its extreme, kind of disappearing and starting another family down the river. So how is it different today, or is it different really?
There's some things that are certainly different and very much the same as well. In that particular case, it's leaving somebody, a family, holding the emotional bag. I mean, that's of a life, and that's a different extreme, but I think it's more common now only because of social media, but it has always existed. 50 years ago, the line was, Cousin John went out for a pack of cigarettes and never returned.
Yeah. This was a little more dramatic, and I think
yes,
probably better for the original family, because they assumed he was a logger. So they assumed he died, you know. And
right.
They had a ceremony, so in a way, that's easier. It's easier to cope with, and it's just the opposite in that respect of what we've been talking about with ghosting. It's like you can't mourn.
Right, because there's so much confusion left. There's so much confusion. I mean, the big question that everyone is asking, why do people do it? And do men do it more than women do it? But they both do it. Men tend to do it more, but women do it as well. And there's a cowardly piece to it. You spoke earlier in the show, and I absolutely agree with the fear factor in that. Telling somebody you're not interested brings up a tremendous amount of fear in people, but it's almost as if their fear of ending something is far greater than the empathy that they could feel for somebody that they do it to.
So someone who ghosts, now we've talked about empathy and, of course, lack of empathy here, because mm-hmm. when you cut someone off, you're obviously not thinking about their feelings. You're just thinking about your own.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who ghosts, and I'm addressing this to you, Lisa, and you, Christine, someone who ghosts is not going to come into either one of us for therapy. So
They do?
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Oh, I'm happy.
I'm actually currently working with somebody who in fact, knows that he does this and wants to stop doing it, and who actually does feel badly about it, not yet enough to do it differently. The example is, most of the time people think the person who does it, they don't feel anything because you don't hear from them, so you don't know what they're going through. But over time, if this is done consistently, it makes them feel bad about themselves. It doesn't help the person they're doing it to in any way. But sometimes when somebody does have a conscience and they look back on it, reflect on it, or when it was done to them, sometimes that highlights the experience that they're giving others.
You said that too, you've treated people who have ghosted. Yes, Christine?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do they come in for? Why are they coming into therapy in your case?
For a variety of reasons, but it has to do a lot with communication. And, you know, potentially having wounds in their family and their family background that weren't able to express themselves and their needs growing up. And so now in relationships, they're just reenacting some of that.
That's interesting. So it's just acting out something they grew up with, somehow was uncomfortable but normal.
Potentially,
for
yes.
For them, yeah. Let's go to the phones. We've got Laura on the line. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure.
I just wanted to share a relationship I had maybe 10 years ago. I was fairly young. I had a friend who I met at camp, and we were very close for quite a while. We talked online a lot. And then sort of suddenly, my friend decided to cut off contact with no warning. And for months and months, I would send messages, get no response, and eventually I basically gave up. But then a couple years later, I just sort of noticed something that made me think of my friend, so I sent an email, and my friend responded and said, thank you for sharing. If you still want to be in contact with me after all of these years, I'd be a fool not to take back your friendship. And since then, we've become close again. I just recently saw him for the first time after 10 or so years when he came to my wedding. And that was just one of the most amazing experiences I had with friendship, of just getting my friendship back.
Sweet story. I don't know if you heard, or many of our listeners heard, in our first segment, there was a gentleman who missed his dear friend. They moved to a different state. They were very close, had long conversations, and it has turned shallow. And, he was just ready to walk away. He had an anniversary card in his hand, and he was ready to tear it up and just walk away from this relationship. And, what you did with your friend was you just mailed the card, and the card changed everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story, Laura. Thanks
so much.
Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Lisa, how can we help someone who's been ghosted?
I think you need to, it also depends on if they've been ghosted, and you mentioned earlier, if it's a relationship where they've had just social media contact, or if they've dated a couple times, or if it's a long term. Regardless what it is, it feels bad. It feels like a rejection. It's a loss. It's really about understanding, instead of putting the blame on yourself, kind of switching that around and say, okay, I thought this person was someone I could have something with, whatever that might be. And accepting the fact that that clearly wasn't the person, we fill in the blanks a lot, too, of what that person is or what they will be to us. So I think it's important to, as you're in this process, really ask yourself, what is it that I need? What is real here? What is just, my filling in the fantasy of it? But to acknowledge if there is a real loss, and it was a relationship, and there was intimacy involved, really mourn that loss, learn from it, and take whatever you can from it, even without their participation.
Christine?
And even if you think they're not the person that you thought they were then, it doesn't mean that they're not. It just means that right now what they're offering isn't what you want.
I wonder that there's a potential danger here, and I'll turn to this to you, Lisa, that we can start ruminating about what did I miss, what did I not see, what did I do wrong, and how am I somehow culpable in this?
Well, there's a healthy part where you wonder, did I do something to contribute to this? And
right.
I think that's a fair question. But there's also, like in anything else, there's a balance between trying to find some insight into it and understanding, and there's the line of obsessing over it and blaming yourself. So it's about a comfortable balance between wanting to understand as much as you can, but not letting it shape you and define you and change you in ways that, don't necessarily need to be changed. Always the balance between the two.
I want to ask both of you a question. We'll start with you, Lisa. Is there any way someone can protect themselves from being ghosted? Or not?
Well, there's ways that you can protect yourself, but you're not in control of what the other person does. So yes and no. You can ask some really good questions. You can, not fill in the blanks and really see how it feels and all of that. But if somebody is somebody who does that, let's put it this way. So they might tell you how they've done that in the past. And, you might hear it. But a lot of people say, well, that won't happen here. That won't happen to me. You can't control what the other person's going to do. So in going into this, you have to know that, too.
And I want to ask you, Christine, is there any way you could advise someone to protect themselves, or is there no way to do it?
I agree with Lisa that you can't control other people. What you can do is control your own thoughts and your own feelings to some regard. And so the ruminating can be disastrous in a lot of ways, all of the what ifs, and really kind of being aware that you're doing that and pausing and acknowledging that.
I want to bring up the whole issue of intimacy here and what it means and how it works in this younger generation. I mean, I was going to title, the show, Wither Intimacy. You know, it's what does it mean?
It doesn't mean the same thing it used to mean.
Yeah, that much I'm getting.
I think that's fair to say. Especially in college campuses where dating is at an all-time low and hooking up with no commitment is becoming far more popular. And what you discussed earlier about Tinder and all of that, people begin to see, even if they do have physical intimacy, that people are still disposable because there's always somebody else you can be with. So it takes the specialness out of it when there's always a lineup of 400 other people in your zip code.
Well, that's pretty scary. Christine, you know, when we talk about intimacy here, I think of Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof and the song he sings to his wife, Do You Love Me? And back then it was irrelevant. And even, you know, when my parents got married, it had to be in the late 1930s, you know, they did love each other. Mm. But my God, intimacy was not in the forefront. I mean, it was a functional relationship. And then, you know, two generations after that, that was the thing. It was all about intimacy, and now it seems to have shifted again. Does intimacy as important to this generation?
I think we're talking about two different things. I think sometimes when we're demonizing hookup culture, I think there's a value in all types of relationships. And if it is fulfilling someone's need at that moment, then that's okay. If it is just being able to be intimate with someone in someone's body, but not being able to be truly seen or known by someone, and that fear of intimacy is occurring, then that is a loss.
Well, that's a good note to end on. I appreciate perspective. I want to thank both of you so much for joining us today. It's really been enlightening, certainly to me. Thanks to Christine Seitz of the Council for Relationships, psychotherapist Lisa Breitman for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Voices in the Fam. We're also at voices@whyy.org. Look us up because we've got a big event coming up on September 8th. I'd like to invite you to. Well, the engineer for today's show has been Al Banks. Elizabeth Perez-Luna is our executive producer of audio content. Mike and Scott is our executive producer. Leah Kaufman is our intern, and we bid a sad farewell to somebody who has become our dear friend. Best of luck. Larry Roebling produces the show. I'm Dan Gottlieb. Enjoy your week.